Well, I really am honored that you're here tonight. I'm one of those people that loves Christmas. I love everything about Christmas, but I just want to be transparent with you and let you know that last year I was a little let down with Christmas. Last year was not my favorite Christmas memory. In fact, last year was not going to be one of the Christmases that I'm going to talk about for years to come. My Christmas last year was just a little bit jacked up, and I want to tell you why. The thing that really messed up my Christmas is the fact that we had kids. Now, I'm thankful that I have kids, but there was just no preparation for what kids did to my Christmas. And see, before we had kids, people prepped us with things that we needed to know. They told us about making sure they were on a schedule and talked about discipline and different, you know, things that you need for babies. But nobody prepped me for what was going to be like when kids came around for Christmas. And last year, I had family members who started saying things like, "Now, because there's kids involved, we're not going to spend any money on you." Just being transparent with you, it was awful. Like, I love Christmas. And now, to kind of, like, make things even just a little bit worse, instead of, like, adults exchanging Christmas presents like we used to before we had kids, adults did things now. It's just something that I like to call the gift card exchange. And this is a really pointless tradition. It's where you go out and you spend $15, $20 on a gift card, and then someone spends $15 or $20 on another gift card, and then you exchange them. The gift card exchange, I think, is the reason why most adults are not excited about Christmas anymore. Like, not a single one of you are having a hard time sleeping on Christmas Eve because you can't wait to get up the next morning to get your gift card. And, like, none of you woke up at the crack of dawn running into the room under the Christmas tree and said, "I can't wait to get my gift card." Gift cards are killing Christmas, and I got some gift cards last year. And to make matters even worse, I tried to have a good attitude. I tried not to show how truly selfish I am, and I tried to have a smile on my face and enjoy that Christmas was now not about me, it was about my kids. But my kids didn't make it easy. Last year they were 1.5, and my son was petrified of presents. So, like, all these people spoiled him by buying him all these gifts, and he was like, "Me no like presents, Daddy." And so, like, I was opening his presents and, like, "Look, buddy, here's a great toy." And, like, he didn't care. He didn't want anything to do with presents. Now, I have twins, and so thankfully, I had another kid to test out Christmas on, and my daughter, she actually loved opening presents, loved it. In fact, when she got done, we taught them sign language so they could talk before they actually could verbalize words. And so as soon as she got done, she said, "More presents, Daddy?" Yeah, you think that's cute, but she didn't want more gifts. She just wanted to open more presents. She didn't give a rip about the gifts. I could have gotten my daughter simply, like, wrapping paper, and she would have had an amazing Christmas. And I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, this is just wrong. You people spend all this money on them, and here I am with my gift cards. Now, something has changed this year, because this year I'm actually really looking forward to Christmas again, because I kind of got through the shock of Christmas no longer being about me. And I now know it's going to be about my kids. And my kids now are 2.5. And so I'm actually really looking forward to Christmas this year because my kids actually know what presents are. And they're very excited about it. And in fact, like, since about June, my daughter has been telling us that for Christmas, she wants a Ken doll and a stroller. And my son has been saying since probably about September that what he wants for Christmas is a Mrs. Potato Head and a stroller. He's only 2, so I'm not gonna judge him. In fact, he's getting a Mrs. Potato Head and a stroller, but he is also getting Ninja Turtles and lots of superhero action figures just to kind of balance everything out. Now, this year, it's really cool because my kids, like, love everything about Christmas. They love the Christmas tree. They love the idea of presents. They love going into neighborhoods and seeing the Christmas lights. They love the Christmas food. We decorated cookies. They love the cookies. They love almost everything about Christmas except for Santa. We took my kids to see Santa, and they were petrified. Like, we literally had to drag them to sit him on his lap. And my daughter is, like, trembling in this picture. You can't see her hand shaking. But, like, through big tears, Santa said, "And what do you want for Christmas?" And she said, "A Kindle and a stroller!" So I really am excited about Christmas this year, because Christmas is really all about kids. And I want to just say that my introduction, I really was trying to be funny, and I hope you know I'm not quite that selfish. I was trying to make you laugh. I was trying to joke around. And when I say you, I really mean my parents who are in the room right now. I loved last year's Christmas. Thank you. Thank you for this Christmas. Don't take back my gifts, Mom and Dad. But something really has changed. Something has clicked within me, and the thing that has clicked is that the reason I didn't enjoy Christmas last year is because I made it all about me, and this year it's going to be different because I'm making it all about our kids. And I bet you not very many of you understood that when I was telling that story and talking about Christmas, I wasn't just saying something to be funny. I actually was making a spiritual point. And the spiritual point is that many of us miss out on Christmas because we've never taken our eyes off ourselves. And I would say that the vast majority of you in here at some point have said, "You know what? I believe in Jesus." Maybe you even have a nativity at your house. I would bet that the most of you in here would not deny the existence of Jesus, but for so many of us, it's like me last year. We acknowledge that Christmas isn't about us, but yet we still act like it is. And tonight, what I want to do is I want to show you why you may have never really felt the impact of Christmas. Because I think the story of Christmas, it's not just a good story. It is a story that really will change your life. I want to show you this by looking at the story of that first Christmas. It starts off by saying this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Now, I want to point out to you two things about the verses that we just read. The first thing I just want to admit to you, probably no one else sees this in the text. This is not from a scholar or commentary. I just can't help but think that the original intent, when it was talking about the shepherds, it doesn't say this, but I'm pretty confident it was implying that shepherds were incredibly good-looking, really, really funny, the life of the party, the type of people you would want to spend time with. And I might be reading that into it because my last name is Shepherd. I don't know, may or may not be reading into it, but I'm just telling you that that's the first thing I want you to notice. The second thing is, I want you to notice the message that the angel said to those shepherds. Let's look at it again. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Did you catch what the angel said? The angel who was most likely not named Clarence, if you've ever seen It's a Wonderful Life. The angel said, "Hey, I'm here today to bring you good news, and this good news is going to do something to you. It's going to produce joy. It is good news, and it's not just like any other good news that you're like, woohoo, yay, that's great, and then you forget about it in a couple days. No, 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 this is lasting good news. This is revolutionary good news. This is good news that is going to rock your world, little country girl. This is amazing news. This is good news of great joy." But the good news is not just the fact that a Messiah was born. That is the great news, but there's more to the story, and we need to look at a little bit of the context of this in order for us to understand what's going on. You see, this happened in Israel's time period where God wasn't doing a lot of stuff. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, I'll just explain it quickly to you, that our Bible is broken into two different testaments. There's the Old Testament, which is all about the story of God and His people Israel, and it's before Jesus. And then you get to the New Testament, and it's the story of Jesus, and then after Jesus, in the new church. But if you're just reading through your Bible, you get to the end of the Old Testament, which is Malachi, and then you turn the page and it just goes to Matthew. And it feels like it's a seamless like transition. But it actually wasn't a seamless transition. There were almost 400 years between the last book of the Old Testament and our New Testament book of Matthew. 400 years. And that 400 years is known as the silent years. And the reason it's the silent years is because God just seemed to disappear. Israel was used to God speaking through prophets and prophets saying, hey, this is the word of the Lord. This is how God is leading us. This is what God is saying. And all of a sudden, God was silent. And Israel was used to seeing miracles and God do amazing things. It just blew everyone away. And all of a sudden, God is silent. And he's not just silent for a week or a month or a year. 400 years. So if you're an Israelite and you're living in that day and age, the vast majority of you have never seen God do a miracle. It's just a story to you. And maybe you've heard your great-grandmother talk about stories that she heard from her great-grandmother, and she's telling you, yeah, God is alive, God is here, but in your experience, God is silent. And I just want to say, before we move on to this text, that I think that describes a lot of us in this room. In fact, I talk to people on almost a regular basis who say, hey, I'm trying to do this Christian thing. I believe in God. I'm trying to be a good person, but I'm asking God for things and he just seems silent. Where is he? In fact, not only am I asking God for things, but everything I ask God for, it seems like the opposite happens. And I'm struggling right now. I could just use God to speak to me. Just give me something. Give me a sign. Just let me know that you're here. Do something in my life. And I met with someone last week who through tears was just saying, I've got nothing. The only thing I have is Jesus to hold on to him, and he's not answering my prayers. Would you please tell me that I'm doing right, I'm doing okay, because my world's falling apart, and I'm asking God to do something, and I'm just not hearing from him. It feels like the silent years. But I want to tell you that the message of Christmas was so relevant to them because God actually spoke into time. And he said, hey, I know it's been a while, but I didn't disappear. I didn't go on vacation. I've been present, and I know it seems like you've been waiting a long time, but I had to wait for the right moment. And I promise you, even though you think I'm slow, even though you think I'm not listening, I'm here, I'm active, and I want to show you this because I'm going to break through time, and I'm going to give you this amazing message. This is good news. God's not dead. God's not silent. He's not on vacation. He's alive. And now he's going to change things because the God in the Old Testament, it was something that you kind of feared and you heard about and you heard other people talk about it. But now he's going to send Emmanuel. And what is Emmanuel? God with us. God sends his son to be born. And he's like, you can see him. This is good news. There's a Messiah that is born. He's going to change your life. This is amazing news. And so here's the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is if you don't have a friend, you can find a friend in Emmanuel in Jesus. If you are feeling beat up and lonely, you can find hope in Jesus. If your world is falling apart, Jesus jumps right in and says, I'm here. I'm here to help you. I'm real. You can see me. You can experience me. I'm here. I'm breaking through the silence. It wasn't just 2,000 years ago when he was born. It's here today. Jesus is alive. He is real. And that's the message of Christmas. But I bet you knew that already. In fact, there might be a few of you who've never heard that before, but I bet you the vast majority of you said, yeah, I agree with that. Intellectually, right on. I'm going to nod my head. But if this moment really was good news of great joy, and if it really did change everything, how can we believe this and it doesn't make a difference in our life? You see, I think that way too many Christians intellectually believe that Jesus came. And they say, yep, I'm not an atheist. I believe that he's here. I've got a nativity set to prove it. I believe that Jesus came. And we intellectually think, yep, he's here. I believe in God. But the belief that God wants you to have is not just an intellectual belief. It's not just a belief that the Christmas story happened. If you believe in Jesus, it will not change your life. And some of you might push back and say, no, that's not true. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. But there's a breakdown in our English translation from what Jesus said. When we see Jesus say, believe in me, we think that's just an intellectual belief. Okay, I believe that Jesus was a baby at one point. He was sent by God. I believe he was born in Bethlehem. I believe the angels came. I believe he grew up to be a man. I believe he died on a cross. It's an intellectual belief. And we think, okay, that's what Jesus was asking me to do. But Jesus was not asking us to believe that he existed. He doesn't give a rip if you believe he exists. Believing that he exists doesn't change his opinion, and it doesn't change your life. Just simply believing that Jesus exists and that the Christmas story is true can change your life in about the exact same way as me thinking that if I just simply watch LeBron James play basketball, I will develop his skills. Now, I don't know if any of you are wired like I am, but there are many times when I watch TV or I watch a movie, and when it gets done, it inspires me to do what I saw in the movie. Like, when I saw the Bourne trilogy, I had in my mind that I could fight like Jason Bourne. And when I saw the Fast and the Furious, it was very scary driving home after the movie because I thought I could do what they did in the movie. And many times when I've watched basketball, I'm a huge NBA fan, and there's tons of times when I'll watch an NBA game and I'll watch a player like LeBron James, and it's just so effortless. Like, he just does things. He just glides through the air, and like, it just doesn't seem like work. And I'll enjoy it so much, and I'll say, man, I can do that. And then I'll go out onto the basketball court, and when I'm on the basketball court, I'm quickly reminded that I'm a short, fat, white guy, and I cannot do what LeBron James can do. Thank you. Amen to that. But I can't. Thank you for believing in me. Like, literally, like, there are times I watch something, I see them do it, and I believe, okay, now I can do what they do. But you would look at me and say, that's just silly. That belief does not change your life. Believing that watching LeBron James will give you the skill of LeBron James is not going to actually do anything for you. So when Jesus says, hey, if you believe in me, you're going to have everlasting life. If you believe in me, you're going to have true life. You're going to have true joy. You're going to experience my presence. He didn't mean just intellectually believe in him. Jesus, when he said believe, he was talking about faith plus action. The idea of belief, and when God talks about belief, is that, yep, you believe, that you have faith. You take a step and you say, okay, I can't see you, but I'm going to follow you anyway. Yep, my world's falling apart. I feel like I'm in the silent years, but I'm not letting go of you. I'm going to walk with you. I believe that you existed. Even when everyone else around me is telling me I'm crazy, I'm going to believe in you. But it's not just an intellectual belief. It is actually taking a step and following. And the angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they didn't just say, hey, guess what? A Messiah is born. Believe that. They said, come see it. And if the shepherds would have just said, dude, that's good news. We haven't heard from God in 400 years. Thanks, angel. We're out of here. It wouldn't have made a difference in their life. But the message of Christmas was that God broke through humanity. He sent his angels and said, hey, there is a Messiah. God is with us here, and I want you to go see him. It's a belief plus an action. It's faith. It's saying, yep, it's here. I really believe in him. But then taking the steps, taking action. I really do think that this is Jesus' message. And I want to go away from the Christmas story and the story of Jesus as a baby and look at something that adult Jesus said. I'm giving you this disclaimer because I know that some of you are traditionalists and at the Christmas service you just want to hear about baby Jesus. And some of you are here and you'd say, you know what, I really like baby Jesus the best. I like the 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn baby Jesus. And your golden fleece diapers with your curled up, fat, balled up little fists pawing in the air. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus grew up. He was a man. He had a beard. And so we need to look at what bearded grown-up Jesus had to say because it is the message of Christmas. And so bearded grown-up Jesus at one point in his life said this to us. Look at it with me. It's going to come on the screens. He said, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and said, I want to stop there just for a second. Jesus is talking to a large crowd of people and his disciples. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is simply someone who says, I'm going to follow the master wherever he goes. I want to learn to do what the master does. And these guys, his disciples, have left everything. They left their home, they left their families, they left their jobs, and they said, Jesus, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Anywhere, I'm going to follow you. So Jesus looks out at the crowd, at the masses, and at his close followers, these 12 disciples. And this is what he says to him. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Now, if you grew up in church or you've been in church for a while, this is probably not a new verse for you, but I think this is one of those verses that we should revisit often. I think this is one of those verses that we should memorize and think about and remind ourselves, because this is what Jesus said. Hey, if you want to follow me, if you want to do this Christian thing, this is what it means. You got to be a disciple. If you want to do what I do, follow me. And did you catch specifically what he said? He said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Now, I know that that's not a very consumeristic-friendly message, but I just want to say that the consumeristic-friendly message of Jesus doesn't change your life. Just intellectually knowing that Jesus existed and believing in him does jack squat for you. And the message that Jesus came is not just that I was a baby born, but I was a baby that was born to die. But hey, you can even believe in that, and that's not going to change your life. If you want your life changed, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's how Christmas changes your life. But we need to dig into this a little bit more, because for those of us that are incredibly familiar with this verse, we have an issue. And our issue is we read this verse and we've heard it before. We've nodded our head. Maybe it's even underlined in your Bible. And we say, yep, I know it. But this verse causes us who have been in the church for a while a lot of frustration. Why? Because it stinks to deny yourself. And here's what we have done. So many of us have taken this teaching of Jesus and we've turned it into a New Year's resolution. And I just want to throw this out there for you to think about. How are New Year's resolutions working out for you? On December 25th, we celebrate truth. On January 1st, we celebrate lies. And don't look at me with your judgmental eyes. I know there's probably a few of you that on January 1st, you make this, you know, New Year's resolution. You're going to change the world. You're going to change your life. You're going to start exercising. You're going to lose weight. You're going to stop getting on your smartphone all the time and actually spend time with people in real life. I know you say that, and then you follow through and you actually do that. And if that's you, mad props to you. You get a gold star. We should parade you on this stage and celebrate you. But for the rest of us normal folks, we're liars on January 1st. Because we say, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to go to the gym, and how long does our New Year's resolution last? Till about January 7th. January 6th, January 7th. We're like, yeah, you know what, this isn't fun. I know I said I was going to diet, but the hot light's on at Krispy Kreme. Or Dunkin' Donuts. We're not biased here. If you like Dunkin' Donuts, they just don't have a hot light. Or you say things like, you know what, I'm going to get in shape. And the first couple days was awful, and you thought maybe it'll get better. And by day three, you're like, I hate working out. I would rather be in my bed. So I know I promised that I was going to work out every day for the next year, but I'm not. I'm lying. I'm lying to myself. I lied to everybody. We're incredible liars. We say that we're going to do something, and we don't do it. And so we take this verse of Jesus, and we say, okay, if we want to follow him, then we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. The problem, though, with what we do is that we've taken a powerful teaching of Jesus and we've turned it into a New Year's resolution, and New Year's resolutions don't change your life. The message of Jesus actually had nothing to do with your effort. But we're so selfish, and we've turned Christmas into a focus on us, that we hear Jesus' teaching, and the only thing we can see is what we have to do. Deny myself. But let's look at this teaching again and see who the main idea is. Jesus said this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow, what's that underlined word? Me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for, what's the underlined word? and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Who's the main idea of Jesus' teaching? It is not you, it is Jesus. And if you take Jesus' teaching and you only focus on deny myself, you're going to end up frustrated. Because it's going to be just like a New Year's resolution. And you're going to say, this year I'm going to read my Bible. This year I'm going to witness. This year I'm going to change the world. And by January 7th, you're going to say, this is hard work. It's not worth it. It's impossible. I can't do it. And you're just going to be frustrated. Why? Because you've taken Jesus' teaching and you've made it all about you. And when you make Jesus' teachings all about you, there are only two results. You will either become prideful or you will become depressed. Because you'll get prideful if you actually do your accomplishment. If you say, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to witness, and you actually do it, then you start to say, look at me, look at what I did, I'm great, I actually did this, woo, go me. But if you don't do it, then you start to say, man, woe is me, I'm an awful person. God can't love me, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. But the teaching of Jesus is not that you deny yourself first. No. It is bookend by follow me. It came up on the screen just a second ago. I want it to come up again. Denying yourself by yourself ends up making you full of yourself. Denying yourself by yourself ends up making you full of yourself. The message of Jesus was not that you need to do anything. The message of Jesus was follow me. And here's what happens. When we become preoccupied with Jesus, we lose focus of ourselves. And all of a sudden, following Jesus isn't a chore. It isn't work. It isn't hard stuff that you have to do. You're just watching Jesus. And all of a sudden, you stop saying, woe is me, this is such hard work, oh, I can't do this. Man, I really like sin, I got to give it up though, I'm a Christian now, I can't do it. Instead of worrying about you and feeling like your problems are so big, you start to say, man, I'm just following Jesus. I'm so focused on what Jesus is doing, I'm not even worrying about what I'm doing. I'm just going wherever Jesus tells me to go. I'm doing whatever Jesus says to do. I am following Jesus. You follow Jesus, that's how you change your life. It has nothing to do with you. And for so many Christians, I'm not talking about someone that doesn't come to church. For so many Christians, they say, I believe in Jesus, but it's simply an intellectual belief. And God has never moved in your life because you never followed Him anywhere. And belief in Jesus is some action. It is faith. It is saying, God, I'm going to go wherever you say to go. Why? Because God is with us. We can experience Him. We can know Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And when you get your eyes on Jesus and you start to focus about what He did for you, that He was born in a stable. And He did grow up to be a man, and He never sinned, and He was perfect, and He willingly laid down His life to die for you and for me. And then 3 days later, He rose again. When you start to focus on that and focus on Jesus and what He did, all of a sudden you're not saying, woe is me. Why don't I have what they have? Why isn't God moving in my life? Why is this so difficult? No. You're not even worried about that. You're just watching Jesus. Becoming preoccupied with Jesus. The good news is that unto us a Savior is born. That's what the angel said. And Jesus comes on the scene and He says, if you follow me and believe my gospel. Well, the word gospel, if you break it down, it simply means good news. And so the message on that first Christmas from the angels is, hey, I'm here to give you good news. And the message that Jesus gave as adult bearded Jesus was good news. It was simply, follow me. Yep, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. I don't care. Follow me. Yep, you made some mistakes. Yeah, you may not love yourself very well, but guess what? I love you well. Stop worrying about yourself. Stop worrying about what you did. Just follow me. I'm asking everyone to come follow me and watch what I'll do. I'll invite you to walk on water and you'll be out on the water and not even know how you got there and say, holy cow, I never thought I could do this. Why? Because your eyes are on Jesus. You watch Jesus. You follow Jesus. You fall in love with Jesus. You just think about the story of Jesus and He gives you power. He changes your life, and that is how the Christmas story literally will change your world. Christmas, when it's all about me, stinks. Christmas, when it's all about my kids, is magical. Christianity, when it's all about me, stinks. Christianity, when it's all about Jesus, is more than magical. It'll change your life. So I want to get really practical, and I want to show you some statements and some questions that will help you see if you've made Christianity all about you. Questions like, God can't love me because I've messed up. If you've ever said that, then you've made your Christianity all about you. God can't love me because I've messed up. And here's what happens. When you start looking at your sin, it looks really big. And you say, man, I did that. No one else found out about it. It's a secret sin. My wife doesn't even know about it. My kids don't know about it. No one at work knows about it. If people found out in church, I'd be so embarrassed. That's my sin, and I've just been hiding it and holding on to it. And there's no way. My sin is so big, there is no way that God can love me. But who's the sinner of that sentence? You. And when you stop looking at yourself and you start looking at Jesus, you see He holds the world in His hands, and He's a lot bigger than your mistakes. So stop looking at you and what you've done and what you haven't done and start looking at Jesus. God does love you. He proved it by sending His Son to die for you. If you've ever said, I just need to clean up my life and then I'll come to God, your Christianity is all about you and not about Jesus. I first heard this from my friend, Tony Pastor, in high school. And I invited him to come to church with me. And he said, man, I got so many issues. I just need to fix myself. I just need to get right. And then I'll need to come to God. And that is a Christianity that is all about you. How long is it going to take you to fix your life before you can stand in the presence of perfection? You're never going to get to perfection. And the message of Christmas is not that we come to God, it's that God came to us. A broken, messed up people. And He doesn't say, hey, you fix yourself. No, He says, I love you just as you are, but I love you too much to keep you that way. So you just follow me and watch what I do. I'm going to rock your world, little country girl. If you've ever said, I'm just a nobody, God can't use me, your Christianity is all about you. Being a pastor, I hear this said a lot. I hear people say, yeah, God's supposed to use you. God's supposed to do something through you. But I'm just a teacher. I'm just a shipyard worker. I'm just a policeman. I'm just a construction worker. I'm just a lowly teacher. I'm just a lowly this. God can move in you. He's supposed to move in you, but He can't move in me. Well, yeah, of course He can't move in you because you're your own God. And you look at yourself and, yeah, oh, yeah, you can't accomplish jack squat diddly. But get your eyes off yourself and start looking to God. Because the same God that is in you is the same God that took a little shepherd boy and helped him to slay a huge giant. And the same God that is in you is the one that told Moses, hey, raise your staff. I'm going to make some waters part, baby. And you're going to walk on dry land. And the same God that is in you is the one that sent His Son to be born in a virgin and then sent His Son to die on a cross. But He didn't stay dead. He rose 3 days later. That is the God that is in you. I just want you to hear this. I'm a nobody. I am a nobody. And God doesn't love you because you're a somebody. He loves you because you're His kid. And because you're a kid, you're a somebody. I don't really have to sell out to God, do I? This is a question that I hear a lot when people start to really get plugged into church, because Jesus makes these crazy hard statements like deny yourself and take up your cross. And it's just not easy. And it's not all about the flash and the glamour. And it's not all fun and games. And people just say, come on, I don't really have to sell out to God, do I? But what is that doing? That's a Christianity that's all about you. And a Christianity that changes your life says, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever you want me to do. And Jesus, I don't know if you've ever read the things that He said, but Jesus said stuff like His message is not a heavy load. In fact, it's a light load. But if you try to do it on your own, you're going to be weighed down and crushed by the message of Jesus. But if you simply just follow Jesus and do what Jesus says and go where Jesus is and just say, hey, I love you, Jesus. Just let me just bask in your love. Let me just do what you do. Let me just be around you. All of a sudden, you're like, dude, I am selling out. And it's the greatest thing ever. I'm afraid that if I follow God, He'll ask me to give up the things I love. If you've ever said that, your Christianity is all about you. And I want you to know, I'm there with you. I've said this statement. And there's been many times when I've been afraid that if I just sold out to God, if I just started following God, He's going to ask me to go to the Bunga Bunga jungle. And I don't like the Bunga Bunga jungle. I like air conditioning. They don't have air conditioning in the Bunga Bunga jungle. And this is our fear, that if we really follow Jesus, He's going to take away everything that we love, and just our life is going to be hard-pressed, and it's going to be miserable, and it's not going to be enjoyable. And it's like, really? The God who is a perfect heavenly Father and knows what is best for you, I promise you, when you follow Him, you will have no regrets. And when you put your eyes on Jesus and He says, go, even if it's the Bunga Bunga jungle, you get there and you say, man, this is amazing. Why did I doubt you? This is way better than anything I could have asked for or imagined. We've taken the message of Christmas and made it all about us. But your name is not in Christmas. It's not called Robmas or Bradmas or Katymas or Heathermas or Jason Musk. It's called Christmas. So let's stop making Christmas and Jesus and Christianity all about us, because that's just going to weigh us down and make us hate life. Let's make it about Jesus. And I promise you that that'll change your life. So tonight as we close, I just want to say a prayer for us. And here's the deal. This is not a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart the first time. This is just a prayer that says, hey, God, I'm an imperfect person. I just want to follow you. This is for the person who's been in church their entire life. This is a prayer for the person who, this is their first time in church. If you're serious about making Christmas and Christianity all about Jesus, this is a prayer for you. So I'm going to say it, and I just ask that you would repeat it quietly in your heart and in your mind. Would you close your eyes and just pray with me if you're serious about this? God, we come to you and we just admit that we're all messed up. God, I admit that I'm messed up. God, I ask that you would forgive me for my sins. I ask that you would forgive me for making Christmas all about me. God, I ask that you would forgive me for making Christianity all about me. God, I ask that you would take my eyes off of me, that you would remind me that it's not about me. God, I ask that you would stir in my heart, that you would remind me. God, I ask that this would be a life-changing moment, that this would be something that lasts way past January 7th. God, I love you. I thank you for sending your Son. I thank you for Christmas. I ask that you would move in me. Just keeping your eyes closed and your head bowed. If that was something that you prayed, if that was something that maybe God stirred in you and you just said that, I would just like to celebrate with you and just know that God is moving. And again, this isn't for first time people accepting, this is for anyone. So if you said that prayer, would you just show me by raising your hand? I just want to celebrate with you. No one's looking around. Awesome. You can put your hands down. God, again, we thank you for this night. We thank you that it is all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.